Winter has arrived. Are you ready? How about your house? With snow on the ground, it may seem like it's a little late to talk about getting ready for winter, but chances are there are a few things you might still need to take care of. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. We'll talk about getting your home ready for winter, windproofing, weather stripping, how to get the most out of your furnace, and all of the other things you need to think about this time of year. Bill will also answer your questions. Talk of Iowa at iowapublicradio.org or 866-780-9100. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Snow is on the ground, and our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today to tell us what we should have gotten done last week.
Right? That's exactly right. Well, we blew this deal, so we're going to talk about spring now.
Right. No, we're going to talk about getting ready for winter, and maybe you've already done a few things, but some of us are procrastinators.
Yeah, I brought the outboard motor in yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, so I got
good
a lot
work.
Done.
Well, awesome.
Thank you.
Let's start with the furnace, because obviously a lot of us have turned it on.
Yeah, whether we liked it or not, your automatic thermostat did that for you. Yeah, we need to get it checked, and I bet they're really swamped, so you probably want to call them as soon as you can. But have your heating and cooling person, your favorite HVAC contractor, come over and check that again this year to make sure that even if it's new, even if it was put in this year, you know, that's one thing we've never mentioned. Yeah, even though it was put in this year, make sure they do come back before, you know, the heating season really takes off, because you never know if there was a little, you know, a glitch or hiccup, even though, you know, because everything brand new isn't always perfect. So, you know, have them come over and double check and make sure that, you know, you have the right filter for your heating and cooling system. And that's one thing, you know, I think we need to be sure and ask try to be involved with when they come over and inspect your furnace, to say, you know, would you please recommend the type of filter that I need to have for this particular furnace, not, you know, or you know, geothermal heat pump or whatever heating and cooling system you have, but not necessarily just the size, but, you know, what kind of MERV rating, and it's MERV, and that rating just basically tells, you know, how much particulate matter that it's going to stop. And what I've done in the past is I've seemed to recommend to friends, you know, to get the super best one, but then all of a sudden it stops and catches so many things that enough air can't go through the furnace, so then it's not working at its best efficiency. So you need to, you know, ask them which one is going to be the best for me and how often do I need to replace this particular filter. You know, some are washable, reusable ones. Some are electrostatic. You know, some are, you know, just the cheap old, you know, fiberglass filament ones. But really get involved in it. And then somewhere, like on your calendar or on your iPhone now, you know, just go ahead and have a little alarm go off. Say, hey, I need to, change a filter.
All right. And if you have a package of filters standing by, change it now. Right?
Yeah. You know, I kind of go by when I can hear the furnace, you know, kind of really screaming, I need air. That's when I... So don't, you know, do what I tell you, don't do what I do. So it's, you know, yeah, always have some there. And because a lot of people have sizes now that you just can't go out and buy at a hardware store or big box store. They're kind of some of them are special sizes. So you may have to order them online your heating and cooling person will get for you.
All right. Now, we should also be thinking about our air conditioners this time of year
right.
as well.
Right, yes.
Because we just stopped using them.
We'll probably need that in 2 weeks.
Right.
So, you know,
I hope.
If you have, you know, central air, you've got the compressor that sits outside. And now's a good time to, you know, clean that up, you know, hose it all down or have the furnace person take care of that for you. But get it clean now, because we've had all the, you know, the grain dust from harvest. We've had all the, you know, it's been dry. And so they're really dirty right now. So get them cleaned and then put the cover on them so they're ready to go in the spring for you, so that, you know, you don't get that residue causing maybe some decay of certain materials or something in the unit. You know, get it nice and clean. And if you still, you know, are using, say, window air conditioners, don't just cover them. Take them out and store them in the garage or something. But the other thing you want to do is if you are going to leave that in, you're gonna want a really good cover because you lose so much energy out of those. Even with a fairly good cover, you lose so much heat out of those things. You want to make sure that since it's gone through a season, that you do sometimes see where it looks like they're just barely hanging in that window. So make sure that it's braced up well and secured well, and then
but
seal around
just
it.
Just take it out.
Yeah, yeah. Just get rid of it.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Take that and put it somewhere else.
Yes.
But and also covering the air conditioners keeps critters out of them.
Well, too, you hope right? So. Yeah, mostly. Unless you like running your trap lines every morning to see how many mice you have.
No, with the wind blowing 35 miles an hour this morning and the driving sleet that mm-hmm. woke me up in the 4 o'clock hour, it does make you think about where air is getting into your home, where the drafts are. So. As it gets colder, you become aware of those pretty easily.
Yeah.
What means you need to do something about it?
You know, you just said it right there. When you're aware of it, you can feel it. Sometimes just walking around the house with, like say the palm of your hand up against receptacles and switches, especially on outside walls, around your windows, it is good to go ahead and start sealing those up. We've mentioned them before, even as basically cheesy, those plastic liners on the inside of the window that you hit, with a hair dryer, they actually work fairly well. It's surprising, if you can keep people from, tapping it, things like that. But they do work fairly well if you have some leaky windows. But around your doors, adjust your thresholds again now, because some people tend to loosen them up during the summer because they don't like the tight fit. Check and make sure that the weather stripping around the door, none of it is, falling out. The sweep on the bottom, make sure the ends, especially when it comes to mice, make sure that sweep on the bottom of the door goes from the edge of the door to the edge of the door, because it's funny how that rubber product under there seems to like to shrink. And so if it shrinks, say 3/4 of an inch on one end, well, there's a perfect spot for, of course, cold air, but for mice to get in. Double check, especially the door going from the house to the garage. We're going to be hopefully not dealing with carbon monoxide issues. People are smart enough usually to start the car up and, with the door open and
or
get
pull it out. Right.
Or pull it out. Yeah, they got to get it out. Don't leave it in the garage. That's not what I meant. Gee. Yep, pull that foot out of my mouth. We want to start it up, get it outside right away. Yes.
Yes, it is striking, though. I mean, we used to do that kind of thing
all
the time.
Yeah.
So some of those old habits do stick around, especially when it gets to be 20 degrees below zero. So get the car out of the garage.
Yes, and it is. I mean, people my age, we used to do that all the time. Well, that explains a lot of things. But, you want to make sure that door is really tight, because even if you do open the door first, start it up, back it out, with some vehicles, there's going to be carbon monoxide residue, and the last thing you want to do is get that through that particular door. So it's usually recommended that door from the house to the connected to garage is the tightest and best fitting door that you have, because it's much more important. But go around the outside of the house now that the ground is kind of, the grass is down and the ground is somewhat bare, and some people have pulled, some of their, trimmed their plantings. So it seems like there's more air circulating around the foundation. So you'll be able to see maybe now some of the cracks and openings that are probably around your foundation where air is coming in. But there again, when it's cold and windy, Like you said, you go down in your basement and just use your hand, or a lot of people will use incense, for something visual. But it's surprising how many leaks we really do, have in our houses. And it's surprising how many of them are on the second floor going into the attic, especially the older homes. We have, Iowa has, I think it's the highest average of, homes built before the 50s, basically, than anywhere in the United States. And it seemed like a lot of the houses that were built, in the 20s and 30s, on that second floor, the barrier for the heating and cooling is that basically a two-panel wooden door going up a set of stairs into the attic. And And, you know, get a hold of an insulation contractor or a building contractor and tell them, you know, I need to put a hatchway, a sealed insulated hatchway to stop the warm air from going up.
Well, back in the 20s and 30s, we mostly just heated the first floor anyway.
Yeah, so. Pretty much. Yeah, and wore a lot of blankets.
Right.
You know, and try to remember, too, that there are a lot of contractors going around, you know, insulating attics and, you know, blowing either, you know, fiberglass or cellulose, loose insulation. Remember that those are still very porous, and so air, you know, it slows the air down and it keeps the heat somewhat in the house, but you can create a lot of moisture issues if you don't seal the attic. You know, when you're in the attic, you're looking down, and you see maybe plasterboard or something where the lights or wires. You have to seal those up before they insulate. In fact, in the state of Minnesota, it's against the law in Minnesota now for somebody just to come in and blow 12 inches of attic insulation without air sealing first. I'm really hoping that Iowa's going to do that because, you know, we used to do that all the time in the 70s and 80s. We'd just, you know, go up and add more insulation before we air sealed, and then we'd wonder why we had all this frost in the attic. It was just the air would still be coming from the house and come up through all where the wires and leaks and the doorways especially. And all of a sudden, the whole roof deck's all wet, and everybody's wondering why we have mold and moisture and roof rot. And it's just because we didn't air seal first.
All right, so we have a leak, something we don't want to do, although I think it's instinctive for some people, is to grab some fiberglass insulation
right.
And stick it in there. This is not on your to-do list.
No. Fiberglass is a good it's a very good insulator when it's sealed. When it's in a sealed cavity, you know, one of the things that I was reading here the other day is a chimney manufacturer said, "Hey, get ready for winter, and go ahead and grab a big wad of fiberglass and stuff it up inside the wood stove chimney." I thought, "Well, what is that going to do? You know, it except filter all the air going through." It's, you know, we have this this idea that if you jam fiberglass tight enough, it's going to stop air. You know, we just can't get it that tight. So, you know, this is where you have to use, you know, foams and sealants. But like I say, as long as it's enclosed, you know, in a sealed cavity, fiberglass works very well.
All right. But that's just not what it was designed to do.
No, it's not designed to stop air. And, you know, I can still remember we always used to just, you know, when you put a window in, you just put fiberglass around the window and say, "Hey, there we got it. You know, yeah, I've got insulated, but it's still leaky. You know, it's still frost coming in there."
All right. And one other thing, we're going to go to a break here in a minute, but you might also want to look at your deck and think about what may be happening over the winter, right?
Right.
And we can fill in the blanks in that in a moment.
Yes.
But do you actually suggest measuring?
Yeah, I like math. You know, most people don't, but I never did, but I like it now. And it's a good thing to use math because you can measure things and see if they've moved.
All right, which a lot of them do,
yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. He's also here to answer your questions. So give us a call, 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. We're talking about getting ready for winter. We've had a stark reminder that, yes, winter is on the way. You can join us with your questions at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And so just before the break, we were talking about measuring your deck right now.
Yeah. You know,
what are we looking for? Why do we want those measurements?
Well, I tell you, what's fun about math is it was always fun teaching this particular thing is, you know, when we do measurements, you know, usually we're looking down on a flat piece of paper going left and right. But you can use that same math if, let's say you have a deck that goes out 12 feet, is you measure out the 12 feet and then just come over to your patio door and just put a mark on there, you know, maybe 4 feet up. You can pick all kinds of numbers. Doesn't really matter. But come up a ways, and then, like now, before the frost is in the ground, go to the end of your deck and just pick a spot where you're going to hold that tape and then put it at that mark at the end of your deck and then measure what it is to the mark that's up about 4 feet and write that down. Now, if the deck comes up during the winter, if it starts to rise because the frost is lifting it, that number will get smaller. So let's say around, you know, the end of February, go measure that. And if it's gotten smaller, that means that the footings on the deck are raising up and down. Well, somebody says, well, who cares? Well, if it's attached to the house, that means it's basically wedging its way loose. Mm-hmm. And the three-season porches are the ones that are the scariest because roofers hate that. They get blamed for a leaky roof when it's the person that put the footings in for the deck is the culprit because frost, it doesn't matter how pretty those footings are. In that first 4 feet, the frost goes around it and grabs that concrete right. or the post and lifts it up. And it, you know, I've seen it where it's lifted up 6 inches. And so that it lifts it up, and now the poor roof is getting jammed, and then it's tearing the fabric and sometimes tearing the shingles. And so then people in the spring, hey, how come I've got a roof leak? You just put a new roof on it. And that to blame the roofer, and it's the footings. So, you know, what's easy to do is if you measure that now, it's going to go back down when the frost goes. But to stop that from reoccurring is just go to the post, dig down about a foot, and then in an 8-foot square, put 2 inches of foam in the ground and then recover it. That'll keep the frost from getting underneath it and lifting it.
Okay.
And so if they're building new, that's one thing you may want to ask a contractor. Hey, if, you know, I've got these posts out here. It's a three seasons porch. I know the footings go all the way down. Well, I don't care if the frost is 48 inches down. Well, it's from the top of the ground down 48 inches, and that's grabbing the side and lifting it up. And so, just tell them I'd like to put like basically an 8-foot square of 2 inches of foam around that post, and it's not going to go up and down.
All right. And so if I find that my porch or my three-season room is going up and down, I can do that in the spring?
Yeah, just do it in the spring because it'll go down. And that's what's really funny. It just goes up and down every year. But the bad thing is if it's going up and down, how they attached it to the house, especially at the floor level, there's been deck failures across the country where just that movement will, you know, loosen the fasteners enough that all of a sudden, you know, you get 10 people out there standing next to the house and then it drops. So, you know, it can be a real life and safety issue too.
All right. Join us with your questions at 866-780-9100. Ralph is on the line in Grinnell. Hi, Ralph.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
2-story house. I want to shut off those plastic reinforced tubes that put air into the upstairs rooms permanently.
Okay.
So do I take those off of the metal galvanized, whatever you want to call it, that upshoot that comes from the basement from the furnace? And do I just take and put tin over those or what?
So you've replaced the furnace and now you've just got the old ductwork going up?
Well, I don't want to have air. I can let air come up the stairway upstairs. There's like a waiting room or whatever you want to call it, but
okay.
The four rooms are upstairs. I don't want to heat them other than when I have the door open. So,
oh, okay.
That's the best way to take that pillar and unhook those plastic reinforced tubes that go to each one of the rooms.
Okay. I think I see it in my mind. What you would do is unattach them and put a piece of the same type of metal, like galvanized metal, and screw it, put at least 4 screws in it, and put mastic. You can buy, instead of tape, use a mastic to stop the air. But that's going to be, you know, a permanent thing. So you mean all this was just going up and heating this little room then? It wasn't doing the whole
four rooms on the second floor. I'm just going to open the doors when I want heat in them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can do that with a ductwork, but it can cause some other, you know, issues, especially when it gets real cold. You're going to have, you know, wood at different temperatures. You're going to have air movement from the lower level to the second that might, you know, may cause moisture issues. A lot of times what's, instead of doing that, is to, you know, insulate the attic floor as opposed to doing what you're doing, just so that, you know, it keeps that thermal envelope, of the thermal boundary at the top of the second floor.
You take and screw it on those holes, and then you take and get some, what's mastic again?
Mastic is like a brush-on sealant. But like I say, I mean, I personally wouldn't do that because of the health of the house. I know you're trying to save some,
right,
some energy, but you could have other things happen. And I, you know, if I wouldn't do it myself, I'd get a heating person to look at your particular house, because I hate to say it over the air. Yeah, that's going to work, because it could cause real health and safety issue, because we're looking at different building pressures as well. You could dramatically change the pressure in the house where you could have possible backdrafting, which could cause carbon monoxide in the house. And
I've got a vent that comes up in the upstairs hallway, so it's not like there's no – it comes from the basement. It's not like there's no air after those four are shut off.
Okay. All right. I still would, you know, ask the heating guy first, though, before you do it.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
All right, Ralph, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org.
Yeah, whenever we change the dynamics of that ductwork, you know, there's a fan blows a certain amount of air, and then it returns a certain amount of air. So sometimes if you shut one side off, it drastically affects the other, so, because they're supposed to be equal out, equal coming back. That's why, you know, we really want to have a heating and cooling person involved in that, in a situation like that. I know a lot of people want to save money on energy. It's better to insulate and air seal and have someone professional look at that, because sometimes it gets really scary, especially if you have natural draft furnace in a water heater or one of the other. You know, those are the ones that have a galvanized vented pipe that goes outside. They are – the only way they really work is that there's enough difference in pressure that the air will go up. So if you change some things, it can suck the air back down, and then they're not going to vent properly. And you know, you could conceivably, you know, kill someone if it's not checked. So that's why – anytime you mess with any of that ductwork, you need to get a heating and cooling person, a professional, not just some, you know, person down the road that used to put a couple dryer vents in or something. You need someone that actually knows dynamics.
Well, and a lot of us want to do something a lot simpler in the wintertime.
Yeah.
We just want to close off a room that we don't use very much, and we want to close the vent and just not heat that room to save energy. But even that can cause problems.
It can, because, you know, depending on how old the house is or how leaky it is, you know, moisture and condensation, it's caused when there's, you know, there's a certain level of moisture in the house, of course, but at two different temperatures, a lot of times there's condensation. So something could happen inside the wall where there's condensation. And, you know, moisture and mold feeds on cellulose, basically wood fibers. And so, you know, in the inside of a wall, Iowa, you know, we use wood framing. So you never know what's going on in there. And so just closing a room off, I know sometimes, hey, you know, I saved this much. Yeah, but what did you really do to the health of the house? That's why sometimes, you know, you see these big sales. I just got another one last week in the mail. You know, these super heaters, you know, basically that you drag around from room to room. I saved this much energy. Yeah, but what did you do to the health of the house? And really, did you save anything? You may have paid less in gas, but you paid more in electricity, because that's
right.
What it runs on.
Our rural electric co-op sends out a letter every year saying these do not do what they say they'll
yeah,
do.
Yeah, and it's good that they do that. And they're actually doing it to, you know, to save you money. Yeah, you know, they're not doing it to really help themselves. So
let's get back to the phones. Bob is on the line in Marion. Hello, Bob.
Hi, I've got a call that the horticulture gang probably doesn't know about. And I have green slime in the top half of my drain pipes.
Okay, like in your bathroom drain,
in the sink drain.
The sink drains.
Oh, a green slime?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here envisioning Ghostbusters for some dumb reason, but
it's dark green. It's not light green.
Oh, okay,
I've taken them apart. I've cleaned them out. It's above the trap. It's not after the trap.
Really?
And I thought maybe you had some magic stuff I could use. And it smells really bad when you get water on it.
Really? Oh, well. And it's on the inside of it, right? On the inside of the drain.
Yeah, it's on the inside of the drain. Like I say, it's above the trap.
Wow.
And I've got it in two of my drains.
You know, all I can think of is try vinegar.
Vinegar, okay.
Yeah, I you know, try that one. But that kind of, I don't know. I know.
You've stumped him.
Well, okay, since it's just you and me talking, well, I know what I've done before is when I get a lot of gunk in there, I've taken my shop vac. And then, but then I sucked that out and sucked the trap out. And then I obviously put water back in the trap. But sometimes that has worked for me because it may be something in the trap that's, you know, causing it to grow. But I try vinegar.
Okay.
But don't anybody else do that shop vac thing. That's just me.
All right. So, thanks a bunch.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Bye. Thanks a lot for your call. You can join the conversation, 866-780-9100. We've got a couple lines open for your call right now. Susan is on the line next in Panora. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is, who would I call to help me figure out where mice are coming in my house?
You know, do you have an exterminator service? Yeah, you probably do in the Panora area.
Yes, but they don't do that. So I'd have to find somebody else. They will provide traps for the inside, but they won't help figure out where they're actually coming in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they'll give you, I know what you're saying. They'll give you like those metal traps or something. Yeah, you know, normally it's just little holes. And so, like, when Charity and I were talking earlier, you know, when you feel air movement, usually that's, you know, probably where they're going to come around pipes, where any pipe comes into the house, any wire. You know, people will jam fiberglass around that, too. But, you know, try to seal those off with caulking rather than even foam, because they'll move through that caulking pretty easy. And then sometimes, like a deck, if you have a deck that's over the ground, there's maybe a foot space underneath it. It's real common. You know, it's dark, and it's pretty easy for them to find a hole in there. So maybe where the deck is attached on the outside of the house, go in the basement and look for holes there where the deck is attached to the floor. But if there's, you know, usually where there's air movement, you know, that's where they're going to come in. But, you know, it's funny. This year I've actually had a couple mice, too, that I'm in the country, that more than usual. So I don't know if it's just been the weather. I'm going to have to do the same thing. I'm going to have to find out what I may have missed someplace. But, you know, there should be, you know, maybe ask a couple more exterminators, you know, just say, hey, do you, you know, do that.
Okay.
Check with them. But, you know, if you find an air leak or you see a little hole, then just caulk it up.
You know, I've never had an energy audit, and I wonder if that would produce the kind of information I need.
Well, you know, the one thing about it, if you get an energy audit with a blower door, they'll be able to, you know, see the leaks. You know, you can just say, hey, while you're here, you know, can you maybe go down to the basement so that I can see where the air leaks are? Sometimes that, you know, some energy audits are all different, but if somebody has a blower door and they're doing an extensive one, you'll be able to find all the air leaks with that. That would help.
What's a blower door?
A blower door is like a red fabric door with a fan in it that they put in one of the doors coming into the house, and then they just pressurize it so then you can feel the air moving through the house at a higher rate.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, try that.
Thank you so much.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Ron is on the line next in Epworth. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I'd like to know if these kerosene space heaters,
yes,
are safe. Heat a room in the house.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had one, and it's sitting in my iron pile right now because they, you know, it says on the directions. If you look at it really close, it'll say you can only use them in so many square feet, and they, you know, really there shouldn't be any children around, and they say they're vent free. If you're burning kerosene, it may not be giving off carbon monoxide on day one, but if you knock it over on the floor, things can get knocked out of an adjustment. Not to mention there's other gases. You know, we always get hung up on carbon monoxide, but you've got nitrous oxide. You've got all these other chemicals coming into the house. If there's children, I think it's the worst thing you could possibly do is put any type of vent-free appliance like that, you know, burns kerosene or anything like that, in a house with kids because you're sacrificing their obviously their health. I don't, you know, if you're going to use them outside, do what you want. But I would never, you know, me personally, I would never get one. I know they went through a huge, popularity there in the 70s, and that's why I say there's one down in my barn and on the iron pile right now, because I will not have that thing around my grandkids.
All right, Ron, thanks a lot for your call, and here's a question we can get to before the break from Adam in Rock Island. Earlier you said that you need to completely air seal the attic to prevent frost and mold from accumulating, but was that just for fiberglass or all types of insulation? I ask because I just had cellulose blown into the floor of my knee wall attic spaces on the second floor of my 1.5-story house. They did a very thorough job, or so they said, but I don't think they used plastic sheeting or anything like that. Will I have issues?
Hopefully you won't, but what they may have done, though, is they may have sealed, you know, with some foam. When they did the knee walls, probably the biggest thing on that knee wall situation is that the you have the horizontal part of the attic ceiling, and then it goes up the knee wall. That, if it has insulation in it, has to be covered. It can't just be fiberglass bats. It has to be, a foam board applied to it or a plywood. I think in some occasions even Tyvek will work. But putting poly in that, they wouldn't have put poly because that would probably it'd be in the wrong place anyway. But by air sealing, really what I meant was either caulks and sealants to stop the air.
All right. Hope that answers your question. You can join our conversation with your questions with our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today, and he is ready to answer your questions. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I did want to ask a follow-up about the email we were talking about just before the break about his attic insulation. Is there of course, you want this to be invisible. Is there an easy way he can check to make sure that it was sealed?
Yeah, you can just pull the, maybe the cellulose back a little bit with your hand and take a look.
So if you see caulk or foam or something like that along.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is, like I say, where wires come up or where there's, a light that's below. Knee walls are probably the hardest thing, though, to air seal and deal with, in especially older homes. It's a nightmare, and there's probably 100 different ways to do it, but in every house is different. They're just, When an insulator hears he's got knee walls, they're going, oh, great, So.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the phones. David is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, David.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
I have a 3-bedroom house. It's all on the same floor. The third bedroom is what used to be a garage. And behind that is a laundry room. And they're both, I always keep the doors closed. They're pretty much separate from what I normally use in the house. I wanted, during the summer, I close off the vents. Not completely, but just enough to where it doesn't get full air pressure. During the winter, now with the heat, would it be better to open those up so that I don't lose heat in the house? Or is it okay to keep them closed?
Well, it depends. Was that garage just a slab, and then they just threw, and then put walls up around it? And
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. So is it insulated as well as the house?
Yeah. It's all insulated. I use that third room as storage space. I really never go in there.
Okay. Well, especially the laundry, I would want the heat going out in there just to make sure, none of the pipes were freezing as well, because there's the dryer vent goes out like the sidewall, doesn't it, from your laundry?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I would still keep all the air going to there as long as it has a return as well. It's got its supplies, but does it have return coming back from both those rooms too?
No, it doesn't. I have one of the old, it's all of my walls are block walls.
Oh,
okay. It has a single return in the living room. And so the reason I was keeping those open was, like you said earlier, so that air can go out the vent.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd leave those doors open and keep the heat on in there so that you get good return. And then, you know, just I would just kind of keep an eye on the moisture level, the humidity level in the, you know, that laundry area since they're block. You know, sometimes you get a little mold build up inside the block cores if they weren't full. So, you know, just kind of keep your eye on the moisture level. But, yeah, keep those open, especially I'm glad you're doing that, you know, for the return air so that that functions well with that central return.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, David, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Patty in Cedar Falls. Hi, Patty.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a 40-year-old house that we just moved in last winter, and it's our first winter in northern Iowa, so we were a little shocked.
it was not an ideal winter to spend in northern Iowa.
We literally had snow coming in around the double front doors of the house on the sides and in the middle. So this year, we decided to go to Lowe's and ask them what to do about that, because clearly we have drafts. And they said, well, bring us in the rubber strip insulation around it, and we'll tell you what you need for those doors. So we brought it in, and, of course, after taking it all down, we have four doors to be outside. We took them all down. We went in, and they said, well, they don't sell that kind anymore. This is the kind we sell. Put this in. I went out last night to look at it, and, oh, yeah, we have draft. Worse than we had before.
Oh, no.
But those wonderful insulation strips are hanging down, flapping in the breeze, so clearly they didn't stay on. My husband's comment was, we just need all new doors. These doors don't fit the holes. You mentioned earlier about a qualified insulation contractor. Do we need somebody to come in and insulate, or do we just have doors that have shrunk and we need new doors?
Well, they're the original doors from the 70s then.
Yeah.
You know, it there are – do you know the brand?
Yeah, Anderson.
Well, you know what? You can get a hold of the Anderson rep, because Anderson still makes that stuff. Anderson makes replacement parts all the way to where they were making them at the beginning of the 1900s. I mean, that's one company that's very helpful. You can ask, what you can do is if you can just get online and go to Anderson's website, and you can find your local rep.
Uh-huh.
And tell them which units you have, and you can probably still get the exact same weather stripping that came with those doors.
Oh,
even though a lot of these companies don't carry that particular one in their weather stripping, you know, aisle. If you go right to the manufacturer, because I can still get all the hardware for Anderson windows back into the 50s.
Okay, and the two doors that don't have any identification on them. If they aren't Anderson and we need to get an insulation contractor, we've asked some of the neighbors. Nobody's heard of such a thing. How do you find one?
Well, are they just regular swinging doors? You mean like an entry door?
They all go to the outside. I think they're steel.
Okay. Well, what you can do on those is, are they leaking on the weather strip on where the door shuts or around the trim, do you think?
I can see all the way around all three sides of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To the outside.
Yeah. If they're still the original ones, you know what? I think if you can afford it, and if you like the look, I would replace them with fiberglass.
Okay.
And they're a little bit upgrade in price, but they're a really nice, stable door. They don't expand and contract as much.
Okay.
But a lot of those steel doors were made by like a lot of the same manufacturers, and steel doors usually are easier to get the weather stripping, but they also make a peel and stick weather strip that you can put on to the jamb to go against the door, as well as magnetic weather stripping. So maybe go to a couple other stores, and sometimes even a hardware store, local hardware store. They seem to have a lot of knowledge.
I'm sorry. This is a peel and stick taping strip that we put on.
Okay.
That's the stuff flapping in the wind right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them are really good, and obviously you got the one that isn't the best. But it also depends on how clean the surface is that you stuck it to.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is where you're going to have to kind of sit and maybe bite the bullet and think, okay, the doors are 40 years old. Maybe it's time for an upgrade. Maybe I want one with, a light in it, a little window. Yeah, you can, even a general contractor or, a small home improvement company can redo the doors and put weather stripping on you. But it may be the time you might want to think about it. And make sure they insulate with a foam and caulking cord around the door where the trim covers it up.
Well, Patty, good luck. And this winter can't be as bad as last winter.
Oh,
right,
heavens.
Bill?
No, it was really nice driving down this morning on Highway 20.
Okay, good luck. Bruce is on the line next in Amana. Hi, Bruce.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I'm leaving this winter for an extended period of time, and I'm shutting the water off the main water supply to my house. And I'm wondering if I need to do anything specific to my water softener, even though I'm going to maintain the heat. It's not going to be in any freezing situation.
Well, hopefully it won't be in a freezing situation. I check with it. Is it like a rented one or do you own it?
I own it.
I think I'd go to the manufacturer's website, and they usually have a question and answer there where you can get a hold of an operator, and I'd ask them if it's going to, hurt anything that is sitting that long, because I don't know if it's going to, probably won't be recharging. So, if it's going to sit that long, you can get with, I think what I would do now is if you get with a security company. Or you can actually buy, online, even just these alarms, temperature alarms that you can monitor with your phone.
I have that. I have it set up so I can call in and recognize the temperature in my home. And so on and so forth.
Nice.
I wouldn't worry about the freezing then. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not. But here, and I did send this to Marlo, the manufacturer of the water softener, and I did say that the heat would be maintained at 50 degrees.
Okay.
Can I read you real quick what they sent me in an email?
Very quickly.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun to hear.
You have to put the unit into a brine draw and allow the unit to draw all out the brine. Once all the brine has drawn out, about 20 minutes, you have to disconnect the brine line from the brine tank and allow the unit to draw air the remainder of the brine draw cycle. Once the cycle is done, you will have to unplug the timer and rotate the cam back to the service position. We do recommend that you remove the control valve and take this with you. When you leave, otherwise it is nearly impossible to get all the water out of the control valve, and it could freeze. When removing the control valve, be careful not to pull the distributor tube up. Once the valve is off, take a couple of handfuls of salt and put it in the resin tank. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me.
Holy smokes, that sounds like Christmas directions.
I'm not mechanically inclined, so I have to call into this lady to say, do you realize it's not going to be – I've done this before, and when I got home, the water had a, and I've never disconnected the water softener. The water was really salty, so even though the water was disconnected, it must have generated.
Hmm. Boy, you got me, but those directions scare the heck out of me.
Me. Oh, I'm fearless.
That softener would probably be right with that kerosene heater in my in my bar.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut the water off to the house, the main supply. I'm going to let it drain through, open up some faucets and stuff. And I'm going to unplug my water softener.
Yeah, take the salt out of it.
And take the salt out.
Yeah.
It has very little salt in it now. I was going to leave it. That way it won't freeze.
Yeah.
And it's attached. It's at a split foyer house. It's in my garage, which is a heated garage. And it has a supplementary heater that goes on after 50 degrees, too. So I think I'm okay.
Yeah, I hope so.
You sound prepared, Bruce.
Yeah.
Well,
my professional opinion.
Yeah, I always go to Dennis Reese Heating and Cooling and check with him and see what I'm supposed to do. But
Dennis Reese is operating the board right now, not actually a qualified heating and cooling expert.
Okay. Well, another thing on my checklist today is ask a qualified person as well. But
yeah, because I'm not the one. That's pretty obvious.
All right, I appreciate your help.
Yeah.
Good luck, Bruce, and enjoy your trip.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Man,
bye.
That's a set of directions.
That is. All right. Rod is on the line next in Altoona. Hi, Rod.
Good morning.
Hi. You've got a big project underway.
I do. I'm going to be reclaiming a single car attached garage and making it into a master suite. Obviously, the floor levels are at different heights, and I'm going to be framing in to the height of the existing home, so that it's all one level. And I'm curious about that concrete underneath it. And you were talking earlier about condensation and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You're going to avoid all that.
Yeah. Now, the footings on the garage, they go down 4 feet, right?
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay. Well, since your floors are not the same level, it's perfect because then you can put 2 inches of foam over the top of the concrete garage floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will, pretty much prevent the condensation and put a poly vapor barrier over the top of that as well.
Uh-huh.
Put that over the top of the foam. So really what you're doing is you're making a shallow crawl space.
Right.
And so then you probably have what, concrete block walls holding the garage
yep.
walls up a little. Yeah, go ahead and put foam on those as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you'll have an insulated crawl space with 2 inches of foam on the sides and underneath. And then you can go ahead and treat that new wooden floor that you're putting in just like it's, a regular new home floor.
Now, should I use any adhesive to keep that held to that concrete floor or just do a friction fit?
You know, most of the time, just friction fit will work. You can go ahead and glue it down, but, tape the seams and put a poly vapor barrier over the top of that and seal that as well. That'll keep, moisture from coming up and radon gas as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you're lucky that they're different heights. That you really are. That works out good for you.
Very good. That's an easy fix.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Rod, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call. Mm-hmm. Here's a question from Susan in Ames. I have a 100-year-old house. I have a workroom in my basement. I work down there quite a bit, especially in the winter. I use a space heater now, but of course it only heats a little area and uses a lot of electricity. What's a good way to heat the large main room where I work? I do have a new high-efficiency boiler that heats the rest of the house well.
If there's a way that that you can put some hydronic heat down there, since she has a boiler, she can put some additional heating units down there. They're basically smaller radiators in the area she's working with, and the plumber can probably tap on. I don't know what the capacity is, but usually that'll work pretty well. That's one nice thing about the hydronic heat. You know, you don't have to worry about vents or anything
right.
like that.
Ductwork.
And it's a nice. That radiant is really nice, that feel. I would see if they could just go ahead and put in a couple additional lines on that and do that room.
All right. This is from Norma. I was told by an insurance adjuster that I need a new, or sorry, that the new furnace vent, rain cap, and storm collar was needed on the roof. Are roofers the only ones that can do this?
No. Roofers, you can have, most home improvement people or carpenters, a lot of times they do the same thing. So a lot of times, roofers would be glad to do it anyway, especially, when things are slow.
All right.
But now, that's the thing. Now's not the best time because the shingles get really brittle. So the next nice warm day, line somebody up, like call them today and get somebody so they can do it right away.
All right. And Bill, I know before we go today, you wanted to mention a friend.
Yeah, it's Veterans Day, and my dad was in the Navy. He never really talked about stuff except fun stuff. But I had a past student, Derek Rasmussen, Army Chief Warrant Officer Derek Rasmussen, and from Storm Lake. And he was just a really good kid, and I really miss him.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Yep, thanks.
Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, he will return next month for Home Improvement Day. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Claire Roth, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbie.